and as our students get ready for university. Children, your school bags will need to be packed with everything from your pencil case to your coat, which I gather you need even if it's dry. Adults, no doubt you're working through various to-do lists, doing all sorts of things as we gear up for a new academic year. There's plenty to get ready. Now, 700 years before this Bible passage was written, God promised that a messenger from the desert would call out, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord." In other words, get ready, God is coming. Years and years and centuries passed by, and then eventually this strange figure appeared from the desert. He had the weirdest dress sense of camel's hair and a leather belt. And he had the weirdest diet of locusts and wild honey. But then in the desert, you survive on whatever you can find. He wasn't on holiday there, he lived there. It was no coincidence that he was quite like the prophet Elijah. And as people saw him and heard him speak, some started to say, could this be? Could this possibly be the one that God promised all those years ago? The voice calling out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord. John the Baptist knew that he was God's messenger. As soon as he received the message from God, the word of God, he went out to share it with others. John had a job from God to get ready, to get people ready. God himself was coming to earth. Now, in John's day, there was no social media, no internet, so he couldn't just post a message online or send a mass email. He had to go and tell people of what God had said. And that's exactly what he did, verse 2. He went into all the country around the River Jordan, preaching, sharing the message so that people could get ready. And all people would see God's salvation, verse 6. That is God's big rescue plan to save us through Jesus. But would they be ready for it? Would they be ready for him? Are we ready for God's Saviour, Jesus? That last question for us isn't easy. It's one we need to really stop and think about. Fortunately, God helps us because he tells us how to get ready. That's what we're going to look at next. But first, let's take a break for our next song. It's not a song we've had for, well, it's a song, yeah, we haven't had this song for quite a while, I don't think. But it's easy to pick up if you don't know it. The words remind us that if we're on the Lord's side, then we're on the winning side. Because he has won the victory over sin and death through Jesus. So please stand when the music begins. So John's job was to get people ready because God was coming to earth. But how were they meant to do this? We need to look more closely at John's message to see. And John, verse 3, went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. A baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Well, what does that mean? Well, John needed to tell people that whatever was going on in their lives, what they needed most was the forgiveness of sins. And the same is true for us today. Whatever's on our back to school to-do list or back to work to-do list, whatever we need to do, what we need most is God's forgiveness. You see, in his kindness, God has given us life. He has put us in his world with countless gifts of food and drink and homes and friends and holidays, and the list goes on and on. But rather than saying thank you and living for him and with him, we choose to turn away from him. We owe our lives to God. Every breath comes from him. But we want the gifts without the giver. We want to live without him and walk away from him. And so Sometimes we wander off and we get lost. Sometimes we hide. We just pretend he can't see us. We hope that he can't see us, but God sees, God knows. And rather than ignoring him and pretending he's not there, we need to face up to how we treated him and ask for his forgiveness. Our relationship with God is the most important thing in life, and his forgiveness is our greatest need. The way to ask for forgiveness is to turn back to him. That's what repentance means. To repent is to stop and turn around, to return to God. And if you're not a Christian, then that's something you'll need to do for the first time. To say sorry for living for yourself rather than for God. To put your trust in Jesus, who died to rescue you, and to commit your life to living for him. It means a change in direction in life, no longer moving away from God, but towards him. In fact, it's a gift of a completely new life, eternal life, which begins when someone repents and believes in Jesus for the first time. If that's you, or if you're not sure where you stand before God, you might like to pray a prayer that I will say at the end. A simple prayer about turning back to God. But many of us here are Christians, and we need to think about what repentance means for us. We may have prayed a prayer of commitment to God recently or many years ago, but repentance isn't something we do once and never again. If you know your heart, then you will know that you're constantly turning away from God in what you think and say and do. Sadly, it comes very naturally to us to be selfish, to go our own way. And so we need to say sorry and return to God regularly, daily. It's a new life with a new lifestyle, knowing God personally, relating to him rightly, and repenting when we get it wrong. It might help to give a practical example. Let's take greed, whether greed for money or food or alcohol, or toys, or TV. Those aren't bad things. But sometimes we want too much of them, or we want them too much. TV or screen time is relevant to both children and adults. So let's talk a bit more about that. Children face the temptation to watch more than they're meant to, or to lie to parents about what they're watching. And as adults, we too face the temptation to watch more maybe than we should, or to click onto that next episode, not knowing when to stop, or watching something that we shouldn't. The reason it matters is that it affects our relationships with God and with others. If we're lying to our parents, or missing out on other things that we should be doing, like spending time with others or with God, well, that's where the problem comes. We persist in sin when we're greedy for more, and just do what we want, walking away, distancing ourselves from God. If I repent, then I stop. I will say sorry and I'll ask for forgiveness. But I will also commit to change, because sorry means sorry enough to change. And God in his goodness has given us lots of different ways to help. I turn back towards God when I ask him to show me how much better Jesus is than what I'm greedy to have. I move back towards God when I ask for his spirit to give me self-control. And I move back towards God. I relate better to him and to others when I ask a Christian brother or sister for help, explaining the temptation, seeking advice or asking for prayer. A good friend will want to help, and you may be able to help them with something they struggle with too. Now, perhaps TV or film isn't your thing. It's not an issue for you at all. But you can apply that pattern of repentance, those steps, to whatever danger you face, whether greed for something else or another temptation. Let's draw to a close. Get ready. God is coming. That's John the Baptist's message. Jesus, God's Saviour, our Son, came on a rescue mission to save sinners like you and me. To rescue anyone and everyone who turns back to him and asks for forgiveness. That invitation is open to all of us this morning, whether for the first time or the 10,000th time. And wonderfully, God is always ready to take us back. Just think again of how the father of the prodigal son was ready to run to his wayward son and throw his arms around him and kiss him and throw a party. That's how God feels about us coming back to him. With that in mind, I'm going to finish with a prayer for those who aren't Christians or don't know where they stand before God. If you would like to make this prayer your own, then just repeat it silently in your heart after me. And you might like to tell someone afterwards that you prayed it, whether Mike or me or a friend. And I'll hand back to you now, Sarah. Thank you. Let's pray. Dear God, I know that I am not worthy to be accepted by you. I don't deserve your gift of eternal life. I am guilty of rebelling against you and ignoring you. I'm sorry, and I need your forgiveness. Thank you for sending your son to die for me, so that I may be forgiven. Thank you that he rose from the dead to give me new life. Please forgive me and change me, so that I may live with Jesus as my King. Amen.